Tiki Tiki Tembo. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, it was the custom of all the fathers and mothers in China to give their first and honored sons great long names. But the second sons were given hardly any name at all. In a small mountain village, there lived a mother who had two little sons. Her second son she called Chang, which means little or nothing. But her first and honored son she called Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Rich Pip Peri Pembo, which meant the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. Every morning the mother went to wash in the little stream near her home. The two boys always went chattering along with her. On the bank was an old well. "Don't go near the well," warned the mother, "or you will surely fall in." The boys did not always mind their mother, and one day they were playing beside the well and on the well when Chang fell in. Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Bari Ruchi Peri Pip Peri Pembo ran as fast as the little legs could carry him to his mother and said, "Most honorable mother, Chang has fallen into the well." "The water roars, little blossom, I cannot hear you," said the mother. Then Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo raised his voice and cried, "Oh, most honorable, Chang has fallen into the well." "That troublesome boy," answered the mother. "Run and get the old man with a ladder to fish him out." Then Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo ran as fast as his little legs could carry him to the old man with the ladder and said, "Old man with the ladder, Chang has fallen in the well. Will you come and fish him out?" "So," said the old man with the ladder, "Chang has fallen into the well." And he ran as fast as his old legs could carry him. Step over step, he went into the well, picked up little Chang, and step over step, brought him out of the well. He pumped the water out of him and pushed the air into him, and pumped the water out of him and pushed the air into him, and soon Chang was as good as ever. Now for several months, the boys did not go near the well. But after the festival of the eighth moon, they ran to the well to eat their rice cakes. They ate near the wall, the well, they played around the well. They walked on the well, and Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Berry Retchi Pep Prey Pembo fell into the well. Chang ran as fast as his little legs could carry him to his mother and said, "Oh, most honorable mother, Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Berry Retchi Pep Prey Pembo has fallen into the well." "The water roars, little one, I cannot hear you." So Chang took a deep breath. "Oh, mother, most honorable," he panted. "Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo has fallen into the well." "Tiresome child, what are you trying to say?" said his mother. "Honorable mother, Chari Bari Rembo Tiki Tiki, he guessed, Pip Pip has fallen into the wells." "Unfortunate son, surely the evil spirits have bewitched your tongue. Speak your brother's name with reverence." Poor little Chang was all out of breath from saying the great long name, and he didn't think he could say it one more time. But then he thought of his brother in the old well. Chang bowed his little head clear to the sand, took a deep breath, and slowly, very slowly said, "Most honorable mother, Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo is at the bottom of the well." "Oh, not my first and honored son, heir of all I possess. Run quickly and tell the old man with the ladder that your brother has fallen into the well." So Chang ran as fast as his little legs would carry him to the old man with the ladder. Under a tree, the old man with the ladder sat bowed and silent. Old man," started Chang, "come right away. Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo has fallen into the stone well." But there was no answer. Puzzled, he waited. Then with his very last breath, he shouted, "Old man with the ladder, Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo is at the bottom of the well." "Miserable child, you disturb my dream. I had floated into a purple mist and found my youth again. There were glittering gateways and jewel blossoms. If I close my eyes, perhaps I will again return." Poor little Chang was frightened. How could he say that great long name again? "Please, old man with the ladder, please help my brother out of the cold well." "So," said the old man with the ladder, "your mother's precious pearl has fallen into the well." The old man with the ladder hurried as fast as his old legs could carry him. Step over step, he went into the well. And step over step, out of the well with the little boy in his arms. Then he pumped the water out of him and pushed the air into him. And pumped the water out of him and pushed the air into him. But little Tiki Tiki Tembo No Sa Rembo Chari Bari Ruchi Pip Peri Pembo had been in the water so long, all because of his great long name that the moon rose many times before he was quite the same again. And from that day to this, the Chinese have always thought it wise to give all their children little short names instead of great long names. The Kindness Book. What is kindness? Kindness is thinking about people's feelings and helping them feel good. Being kind makes you feel good too. Kindness is reading a bedtime story to someone you love. Kindness is taking care of your community. Kindness is holding the door open for someone. Kindness is listening. Kindness is keeping others safe. Kindness is free. Kindness is watching out for someone around you. Kindness is holding hands. Kindness is being there when someone needs you. Kindness is taking care of yourself. Kindness is helping things grow. Kindness is saying something nice. Thank you for being my teacher. Kindness is not hurting someone's feelings. Ha ha ha, your hair looks funny. Kindness is saying sorry. We're sorry, let's be friends. Be kind to yourself. Kindness is remembering everyone's feelings are important. Kindness is welcoming someone new to the family. Kindness is giving a bug a hug. Kindness is saying hello to someone new. Kindness is saying thank you to those who help others. Kindness is being nice to animals. Kindness is letting others be who they are. Kindness is cheering someone up when they're sad. It's easy to be kind. There are many ways to be kind. Don't forget to be kind to yourself. The end. Town Mouse, Country Mouse. One morning, the town mouse woke up, shivering from a dream about the kitchen cat who prowled the house. "I need a vacation," he said to his wife. "Let me take you to see the countryside where I was born. Life is quiet and peaceful there. The sun shines brightly every day, and the air is so clear that you can see the stars at night. And nothing will prepare you for the taste of wild blackberries." "Let's go right away," she said. So the town mouse and his wife packed a picnic and set off for the country. The country mouse and her husband were at their tree stump house, exhausted from searching for food and avoiding the hungry owl who lived nearby. "Sometimes I wish we lived in a townhouse where all the food you can eat is right there in the pantry. They say that the smell of cheese makes your whiskers tingle." "Mine are tingling already," her husband exclaimed. The town mouse were outside the country mouse house, putting a huge chunk of cheese in the middle of their picnic cloth. The country mice peered down at it. They heard the town mouse exclaim, "This is the life. Wildflowers, swing, spring peepers, if only we lived here." The country mice crept out. "You like it here?" they asked. "Why, we've always wanted to live in a townhouse." The town mouse offered them a nibble of cheese. "Why don't we trade houses?" he said. "Would you?" asked the country mouse, her mouth stuffed full of the delicious cheese. "We'll leave right away," she said. As they said goodbye, each of the mouse thought that they had the better part of the bargain. It was dark when the country mice arrived in the town and found the house. They tiptoed inside and wandered into the sewing room, where they found what they thought to be a sumptuous bed and fell sound asleep. Much too early the next morning, a loud clanging woke them up. Sooty clouds of smoke were pouring over them, and they heard a strange voice purring loudly. "Sauces and ham, it's hungry I am. Sauces and ham, it's hungry I am. Mice in my stew, wait till I catch you." "Who do you think that is?" the country mouse asked his wife. The town mouse and his wife were up with the birds, ready to gather wild blackberries in the grassy meadow for breakfast. They could smell them. They just couldn't find them. As the town mouse's wife turned to remind her husband to remember the way home, she felt a large wet drop on her head. "What was that?" she asked. "Is the bathtub leaking?" "No, we're in the country now," he said. "Those are raindrops." Just then, lightning lit up the sky, and rain poured down as the two drenched mice ran wildly for their tree stump house. The country mice were looking forward to their first splendid meal in the pantry. I'm sure there's ham in the ice chest and rolls in the bread box, but the best smell of all is coming from up there, the country mouse told her husband. It must be a fine old cheese. I'll climb on your shoulders and get it. But she couldn't quite reach it. Stand on your toes, she called down. But just as she got a hold of the cheese, her husband lost his balance. The top slammed down, and she was left hanging by her tail. Help me, I'm caught. Back in the country, the town mouse had put on dry clothes. He was especially proud of his bright new jacket. So colorful and eye-catching, he said to his wife, let's stroll in the forest. We'll come back loaded with acorns and hickory nuts. But their walk was soon interrupted. The town mouse's colorful coat was so eye-catching that it caught the eye of a curious blackbird, and if his wife hadn't held him by the foot, he would have been carried off. Not far away in town, the country mouse felt his wife's silky tail. Nothing broken, he said. But when he looked in her eyes, he saw how sad and discouraged she was. I know something that'll cheer us up, he told her. Follow me. He had spied a small window up above the pantry shelves. Together, they climbed higher and higher. When they reached the top, he rubbed away the soot, and they looked out a piece at the blue sky. Doesn't it look like home, the country mouse asked his wife. The town mice stood quietly together after that awful blackbird scare. I thought I'd lost you forever, the town mouse whispered to her husband. They looked around. How still and peaceful it was now. The sun had come out and everything was glistening and green. It's beautiful sheep here, she said. We should try to enjoy it. I know, the town mouse said, but I miss the sound of the town, all the hustle and bustle. Here I feel so alone. And in our cozy townhouse, we knew what to expect, his wife added. The country mice knew to stay home in a thunderstorm, and they knew what to expect from the hungry owl. But they soon found out that there were different dangers here when they discovered a tasty morsel of blue cheese sitting on a pine board. This time you take the cheese. I'm still shaking from being caught in the cheese box, the country mouse said. So her husband crept toward the cheese, whiskers trembling. As he reached it, his foot slipped, and he heard a whoosh, followed by an enormous snap, and he was thrown across the room. He landed in a warm bundle of something soft and furry. The country mouse was shaking from his close call. I can barely stand. He winced as his wife pulled him up and patted down his crumpled whiskers. It was then that she noticed the bundle on which her husband had landed was tipping and turning. It was alive. Two green eyes snapped open. Run, she cried, getting a good look at it. It's an owl with teeth. The town mice knew how to avoid mousetraps set with cheese, but they soon found that the country had its own perils when they explored the riverbank hand in hand. Suddenly, the water began to boil and churn, and a huge wet head popped up and stared at them. It was a river otter. The mice tore back to their tree stump home, only to find a hedgehog rolled into a ball in front of the door. Then they heard an animal crashing toward them through the underbrush. I can't take this anymore, the town mouse quaked, and she raced for the nearest tree with her husband right behind her. From the tree, they could see the town lights blink on as the sun went down, and the stars came out one by one. What shall we do, the town mouse asked his wife. But before she could answer, she saw a pair of glowering eyes right beside them, and they were face to face with the most terrifying creature of all. A cat with wings, shrieked the town mouse. That's it for me, his wife cried, and they ran down the tree and toward the town as fast as their legs could carry them. As the town mouse headed frantically along the road, the country mice were fleeing in terror toward their country. Their paths crossed, but neither saw the other. They were so frightened. Even the sky seemed to be falling down on them. The country mouse didn't stop running until they could see their tree stump in the distance. The town mice kept on running until they reached their old townhouse. The musty smell of old wood and smoke from the kitchen all seemed wonderful. Even the street sounds outside sounded cheerful and friendly. There's no place like home, sighed the town mouse, as he and his wife settled into a warm old slipper. There's no place like home. Atop their cozy tree stump house, the country mouse and her husband looked up at a full moon shining down on them. They sighed happily. We missed you, they said together. Back on the road, the cat and the owl had knocked each other out when they collided head on. The cat, slowly waking up, touched his bruised head gingerly. He looked up to see the owl brushing himself off. It was then that he had an idea. "Owl, how would you like to trade places with me? I've always wanted to try the simple life in the country." The monster at the end of this book, starring lovable, furry, old Grover. What did that say? On the first page, what did that say? Did that say there will be a monster at the end of this book? It did? Oh, I'm so scared of monsters. Shh! Listen, I have an idea. If you do not turn any pages, we will never get to the end of this book. And that is good, because there is a monster at the end of this book. So please do not turn the page. You turned the page! Maybe you do not understand. You see, turning pages will bring us to the end of this book, and there is a monster at the end of this book. But this will stop you from turning the pages. See, I'm tying the pages together so that you cannot. You turned another page! You do not know what you're doing to me. Now stop turning pages. There. I, Grover, am nailing this page to the next one, so you will not be able to turn it, and we will not get any closer to the monster at the end of this book. Bung, bang, blink, clonk, bunk. All right, all right, all right. Do you know that every time you turn another page, you not only get us closer to the monster at the end of this book, but you make a terrible mess? This will stop you from turning pages. A heavy, thick, solid, strong brick wall. I would just like to see you try to turn this page. Do you know that you are very strong? The next page is the end of this book, and there is a monster at the end of this book. I'm so scared. Please do not turn the page. Please, please, please. Well, look at that. This is the end of the book, and the only one here is me. I, lovable, furry old Grover, am the monster at the end of this book. And you were so scared. I told you and told you there was nothing to be afraid of. Oh, I am so embarrassed. How much is a million? If 1 million kids climbed onto one another's shoulders, they would be taller than the tallest buildings, higher than the highest mountains, and farther up than airplanes can fly. If you wanted to count from 1 to 1 million, it would take you about 23 days. If a goldfish bowl were big enough for 1 million goldfish, it would be large enough to hold a whale. Presto, 100 stars. If this book had 1 million tiny stars, they would fill 70 pages. Climb aboard. There, you have 100,000 stars. If we take this 7-page journey 10 times, we'll pass 1 million stars. Let's do that later. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. How big is a billion? If 1 billion kids made a human tower, they would stand up past the moon. If you sat down to count from 1 to 1 billion, you would be counting for 95 years. If you found a goldfish bowl large enough to hold 1 billion goldfish, it would be as big as a stadium. If this book had 1 billion tiny stars, its pages spread side by side would stretch almost 10 miles. How tremendous is a trillion? If 1 trillion kids stood on top of each other, they would reach way, way, way beyond the moon, beyond Mars and Jupiter too, and almost as far as Saturn's rings. If you wanted to count from 1 to 1 trillion, it would take you almost 200,000 years. If you put 1 trillion goldfish in a goldfish bowl, the bowl would have to be as big as a city harbor. If you put 1 trillion of our stars onto a gigantic roll of paper, it would stretch all the way from New York to New Zealand. Blueberries for Sale by Robert McCluskey. One day, Little Sal went with her mother to Blueberry Hill to pick blueberries. Little Sal brought along her small tin pail, and her mother brought her large tin pail to put berries in. "We'll take our berries home and can them," said her mother. "Then we will have food for the winter." Little Sal picked 3 berries and dropped them in her little tin pail. Kaplink, kaplink, kaplink. She picked 3 more berries and ate them. Then she picked more berries and dropped one in the pail. Kerplunk! And the rest she ate. Then Little Sal ate all four blueberries out of her pail. Her mother walked slowly through the bushes, picking blueberries as she went and putting them in her pail. Little Sal struggled along behind, picking blueberries and eating every single one. Little Sal hurried ahead and dropped a blueberry in her mother's pail. It didn't sound kaplink because the bottom of the pail was already covered with berries. She reached down inside to get her berry back. Though she didn't really mean to, she pulled out a large handful because there were so many blueberries right up close to the one she had put in. Her mother stopped picking and said, "Now, Sal, you run along and pick your own berries. Mother wants to take her berries home and can them for next winter." Her mother went back to her picking, but little Sal, because her feet were tired of standing and walking, sat down in the middle of a large clump of bushes and ate blueberries. On the other side of Blueberry Hill, Little Bear came with his mother to eat blueberries. "Little Bear," she said, "eat lots of berries and grow big and fat. We must store up food for the long cold winter." Little Bear followed behind his mother as she walked slowly through the bushes, eating berries. Little Bear stopped now and then to eat berries. Then he had to hustle along to catch up. Because his feet were tired of hustling, he picked out a large clump of bushes and sat right down in the middle and ate blueberries. Over on the other side of the hill, Little Sal ate all of the berries she could reach from where she was sitting. Then she started out to find her mother. She heard a noise from around a rock and thought, "That's my mother walking along." But it was a mother crow and her children, and they stopped eating berries and flew away saying, "Caw, caw, caw." Then she heard another noise in the bushes and thought, "That is Shorty, my mother, and I will go that way." But it was Little Bear's mother instead. She was tramping along, eating berries and thinking about storing up food for the winter. Little Sal tramped right along behind. By this time, Little Bear had eaten all the berries he could reach without moving from his clump of bushes. Then he hustled off to catch up with his mother. He hunted and hunted as his mother was nowhere to be seen. He heard a noise from over a stump and thought, "That is my mother walking along." But it was a mother partridge and her children. They stopped eating berries and hurried away. Then he heard a noise in the bushes and thought, "That is surely my mother. I will hustle that way." But it was Little Sal's mother instead. She was walking slowly, picking berries and thinking about canning them for next winter. Little Bear hustled right along behind. Little Bear and Little Sal's mother, and Little Sal and Little Bear's mother were all mixed up with each other among the blueberries on Blueberry Hill. Little Bear's mother heard Little Sal walking along behind her and thought it was Little Bear, and she said, "Little Bear, munch, munch, eat all you can, gulp, possibly hold, swallow." Little Sal said nothing. She picked three berries and dropped them, kaplink, 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 into her small tin pail. Little Bear's mother turned around to see what on earth could make a sound like kerplunk. "Grump," she cried, choking on a mouthful of berries. "This is not my child. Where's Little Bear?" She took one good look and backed away. She was old enough to be shy of people, even a very small person like Little Sal. Then she turned around and walked off very fast to him for Little Bear. Little Sal's mother heard Little Bear tramping along behind and thought it was Little Sal. She kept right on picking and thinking about canning blueberries for next winter. Little Bear padded up and peeked into her pail. Of course, he only wanted to taste a few of what was inside, but there were so many, and they were so close together, that he tasted a tremendous mouthful by mistake. "Now, Sal," said Little Sal's mother without turning around, "you run around and pick your own berries. Mother wants to can these for next winter." Little Bear tasted another tremendous mouthful and almost spilled the entire pail of blueberries. Little Sal's mother turned around and gasped, "Oh, my goodness, you're not Little Sal. Where is my child?" Little Bear just sat munching and munching and swallowing and licking his lips. Little Sal's mother slowly backed away. She was old enough to be shy of bears, even very small bears, like Little Bear. Then she turned and walked away quickly to look for Little Sal. She hadn't gone very far before she heard a kaplink, kaplink, kaplunk. She knew just what made that kind of noise. Little Bear's mother had not hunted very long before she heard a hustling sound that stopped now and then to munch and swallow. She just knew just what made that kind of a noise. Little Bear and his mother went home down one side of Blueberry Hill, eating blueberries all the way and full of food stored up for next winter. And Little Sal and her mother went down the other side of Blueberry Hill, picking berries all the way and drove home with food to can for next winter. A whole pail of blueberries and three more besides. Umbrella by Taro Yashima. Momo is the name of a little girl who was born in New York. The word Momo means the peach in Japan, where her father and mother used to live. On her third birthday, Momo was given two presents, red rubber boots and an umbrella. They pleased her so much that she even woke up that midnight to take another look at them. Unfortunately, it was still Indian summer and the sun was bright. Every morning, Momo asked her mother, who used to take her to the nearby nursery school, "Why doesn't the rain fall?" The answer was always the same. Wait, it will come. One morning, Momo was more impatient than ever because the sun was brighter than ever. But strangely enough, a splendid idea made her jump up when she was watching the sunshine in her milk glass. "I need my umbrella. The sunshine bothers my eyes." But her mother said, "You know you can enjoy the sunshine better without the umbrella. Let's keep it for a rainy day." Next morning, Momo was still unhappy because she still could not use her umbrella. But strangely enough, another idea made her jump up when she was watching the people cross the street. "I certainly need my umbrella today. The wind must bother my eyes." But her mother said, "The wind might blow your umbrella away. Let's keep it for a rainy day." It was many, many days later that finally the rain fell. Momo was wakened by her mother's voice. "Get up, get up. What a surprise for you." Momo did not stop to wash her face. She even pulled the boots onto her bare feet. She was so excited. The pavement was all wet and new. Doodling that she had drawn yesterday was not there anymore. Instead, raindrops were jumping all over, just like the tiny people dancing. The street was crowded and noisy, but she whispered to herself, "I must walk straight, like a grown-up lady." On the umbrella, raindrops made a wonderful music she'd never heard before. Bumpalo, 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 bumpalo. Bota, bota, pumpalo, bota, bota, pumpalo. The rain did not stop all day long. Momo watched it at times while she was playing the games at nursery school. She did not forget her umbrella when her father came to take her home. She used to forget her mittens or her scarf so easily, but not her umbrella. The street was crowded and noisy, but she whispered to herself, "I must walk straight like a grown-up lady." On her umbrella, the raindrops made the wonderful music. Bom polo, bom polo, po polo, po polo, pom polo, pom polo, bom polo, 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 pom polo, bo, to bo, to bo, polo, bo, polo, bo. All the way home. Momo is a big girl now, and this is a story she does not remember at all. Does she remember or not? It was not only the first day of her life she used her umbrella, it was also the first day in her life that she walked alone without holding either her mother's or her father's hand. Good Night Moon by Margaret Wise Brown. In the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of the cow jumping over the moon. And there were three little bears sitting on chairs and two little kittens and a pair of mittens and a little toy house and a young mouse and a comb and a brush and a bowl full of mush and a quiet old lady who was whispering, "Hush." Good night, room. Good night, moon. Good night, cow jumping over the moon. Good night, light and the red balloon. Good night, bears. Good night, chairs. Good night, kittens, and good night, mittens. Good night, clocks, and good night, socks. Good night, little house, and good night, mouse. Good night, comb, and good night, brush. Good night, nobody. Good night, mush. And good night to the old lady whispering, "Hush." Good night, stars. Good night, air. Good night, noises everywhere.